Or I have to question, is having three martinis too much? Well, if you ask the question, that means it's probably too much.
Hello. It's the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. I'm sorry, the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. Hello, everybody. This is episode 8. We're already up to 8. So, I have a thing I want to get into. I don't have any kind of updates personally, other than, other than I'm a little shaky right now. I don't know if I drank too much coffee. Probably should drink water, but I really like coffee. It's the vice I have left. So we're gonna do that. Thank you. I got a lot of response for the last podcast, which is nice. I mean, but that one was like the heartfelt one, like talking about getting sober one that was like 40 something minutes long. And I don't know how many of those I'm going to do in the future. So don't, I almost would rather get response to the ones when I just ramble for 30 minutes about nothing. It's like, man, that really touched me. That really got to me, that those 30 minutes where you talked about Jack and shit, that was the best. Like, that's not going to happen, but part of me kind of wishes that was the, hey, you know that one where you didn't know what you were going to talk about, so you just kind of rambled for about half an hour? Yeah, that was my favorite. You're not going to see that, but it would be nice. But this week, I have a thing I wanted to kind of talk about, but I need to research more about it. So maybe I'll do it next week. It's just, it's not super important, but it's a thing. I was looking into it and I was going to do that today, but then I figured out that what I wanted to talk about today, because I wanted to go more into Fight Club. I really did. Because anybody that's known me knows how much I really enjoy that film and that book and how it's kind of affected me. And it sounds kind of weird now. Like, it's like, really? Still? How is that? And I wanted to kind of explain that I'm aware, incidentally, that it's a satire. I'm aware of that. Like, that doesn't matter. It's interesting how different people can interpret and get out something depending on who they are and their own life experiences. And, you know, I mean, when the movie came out, there were dudes that actually tried to do their own, let's do that, not realizing that getting punched hurts. Like, that's the movie part. You don't, it's not cool. It's you know, teenage boys fighting each other like they needed a reason. And of course, I'm going to read something later. Was a Vice column that was the beginning of my hatred for Vice and the ridiculousness of it. I don't like that site at all. It's a poor excuse for, you know, it was fine until they're like, no, we're journalists. Are you? But here's the thing about Fight Club is that it changed my life twice. And I wanted to go over that, or changed my thinking about where I was. It helped. I don't know if it. Yeah, I guess you could say that. That seems a little excessive that it changed my life, but it did. It made me start thinking things differently. So the first time that Fight Club came around, of course, it came out in 1999. Now, the interesting thing about that year, because I know a lot of you were younger than me. So in 1999, you were what? Anywhere from 2 to 12. So you don't know. So let me explain. In 1999, three movies came out fairly close together that had similar themes: Fight Club, American Beauty, and Office Space. And they all had kind of this underlying theme of this life that you're doing, like for white dudes, really, who are like white collar, office dwelling people that are in a marriage that they got into too early, that they're just kind of like drones. So you had American Beauty. Now let's overlook the whole like, I'm in love with a high schooler. If that still bothers you, just realize the guy shot him. The guy got shot in the back of the head by the end of the movie. Sorry, I spoiled a movie 18 years later. But if you haven't seen it yet, you're not gonna see it. But that was the thing, is that the beginning of that movie, the best part of his life was jerking off in the shower. That was like the highlight of his day. And then he went to a job that he hated. Also, Office Space, the guy's like, people aren't meant to live this way. And in fact, that's the whole thing, is that like now when I explain to people that, why do I wash dishes when I have a degree? And it's the joke that I have on stage, of course, is that because I got tired of being a corporate slave and watch my soul die slowly every day. Also, I'm a dishwasher because I'm a convicted felon. Both those things. But more that first thing that made me sound like a freedom fighter. But that's the thing, is that what I tell people, that it's just easier to explain as I go, yeah, I office spaced myself. That's basically what I did. Because Peter, at the end of that, ends up doing construction and he's way happier. Granted, if, give it 6 months and then go back and visit that guy and see how he likes construction after doing it for 6 months. But I don't know, maybe he still loves it. Maybe he still, But that was the thing, is that also in all three movies, or in two of the movies, in both Fight Club and American Beauty, the main character blackmails his boss. And in Office Space, they don't blackmail, but they steal from the from the company. So I didn't do any of that, but maybe I should have. But so when I saw those, and especially when I saw Fight Club, it just kind of hit me, because the whole idea is that, the whole this is your life and it's ending 1 minute at a time. Like, it's it reminds me, I was reminded of it years later when I got into Alan Watts, stand-up philosopher Alan Watts, and he explained that the whole idea of life, that they get you into kindergarten, and that's when you start, and then you go into first grade, and it's the first grade, and then, keep chasing this thing, and you got to get to this thing, and the first grade goes to second grade to third grade all the way through 12, and you're like, it's coming, you're chasing the thing, and then after that you go to college. Some people, 4 years of college, you're going to get that thing, and then some people go to grad school, and then you get into a company. And you start at the ground floor doing something crappy, and but you're chasing the thing, and you're going up the ladder. It's coming. That thing is coming, and you get to the final spot, and then you get the thing, and you open it up, and it's nothing. And you turn around, and you're middle aged, and you missed the whole thing. You missed life because you were chasing something that you didn't know what it was, and then it turns out, no, life was the whole thing. And that's kind of what it reminded me of, what kind of hit me with watching Fight Club and Office Space. Office Space made me realize I was going to not be working at Apple Computer, because I worked at Apple for 6 years. And I realized, and I was answering phone calls from schools selling schools computers, and it was, I would have to say, probably the best office job I could have gotten. Like, it was, you know, the pay was great. I didn't have a quota, so I was just answering phones. On paper, was the best office job I was probably going to get. And it still, after a few years, I was miserable. I was just like, this is, man, this kind of sucks. I just didn't feel right to me. But, so I, like, I knew that when I watched, when I got out of Fight Club, I knew that I was going, two things. One, I was not going to be working at that job for a long, long time. And, you know, I was eventually going to leave. And two, I was going to not be married much longer. I knew that I was unhappy in my marriage, and I was just fine with it because I was living in the suburbs, you know, two-car household, paying for a house, owning a house. And, you know, and I wasn't even 30 yet. And, like, I know that there's people out there that are like, no, that's great. No, it isn't. Not when that's not what you wanted to do. Instead of, you know, I probably should have gotten on the road, even though I don't regret not being a road comic. But it felt like I did something, not because it's what I wanted at the time. It was, it just felt like, no, this is the right thing to do. This is obviously the progression. And I wanted out. Now, just because, but I'm very passive because I didn't do anything about it. I didn't get divorced till like 2 years later. It took me 2 years to finally do something. And I did it the worst way possible. I just, I held it all inside till I couldn't do it anymore. And I waited till I got a DWI. And then that was kind of the catalyst for change for everything. But, and then the job, I didn't leave Apple. They finally got wised up and went, we're paying these people way too much money, because they were. And they tried to make a sales, outbound calling salespeople. And you could either interview for an outbound sales job, or you could take the 2 month severance. And I took the severance, and then they had to pay me out all this paid time off that I never took. So they just gave me a huge check, and I went, I'm out, bitches, and I left. But that was the thing, is that it set my mind to what I, you know, I wanted to go. I wanted to go be a barfly. I wanted to go do comedy and drink in bars and hang out and have fun. And that's, which is kind of why I was, instead of doing that in my 20s, I did a couple years in my 20s, but instead of, that's why that's why I went a little strong in my 30s. So I'm not saying it's the best thing, but that's exactly why I did that. I kind of overcompensated, you know, making up for lost time. And boy, did I. But cut to rehab. So that would be 11 years later. Fight Club comes up again because I was rereading it while in treatment, like I talked about last week. And the thing about it is that once you've lost everything, you're free to do anything. You know, just those different concepts and those different sayings in Fight Club. Now, the reason that the main reason that I glommed onto it is because I thought, like all white dudes my age, I thought that was some cool shit. And that's, so I thought that the easiest way, because I wanted to be cool, and I've wanted to be cool all my life, that's kind of the motivation and probably what led me to drinking heavy and doing drugs and things like that, is because I wasn't, like most people, I wasn't cool growing up. And then when I started getting a little bit of success on stage as a comedian, that I finally felt that this is what I wanted to do. So the way to quit an addiction, the way to get over, you know, to recover from it for me had to be convincing myself that it was cooler to not be doing heroin or not be getting drunk in bars at my age at that kind of level of self-destruction. And I finally, you know, and that's, so it took, that's why it took, you know, Fight Club, it took, you know, Zen and meditation, like serious study of that to be cool, because I thought that shit was cool. So if I thought it was cool and I could glom onto that, I could use that to change thinking. It could get away from the grifter junkie lifestyle stuff. So that's why it came back around again, Fight Club, and it worked. You know, I mean, it's, and like I said last week, it was fun to quote the movie, because if you do it out of context around 12 steppers, they don't really pick up on it right away. You know, it's like fake it till you make it. Yeah, well, sticking feathers up your butt doesn't make you a chicken. Oh, that's good. What, have I heard that before? Nah, you haven't. So yeah, I just wanted to kind of explain that I'm aware that it's just a ridiculous movie, and but I still focus on like the first half of it. Kind of like how people love Scarface. You know, you can buy tons of Scarface T-shirts for sale in San Antonio, incidentally, in the mall. But it's like how people just love Scarface and like, yeah, you know, I want to be with Scar. You know, I want to be that. That's who I want to be. And I'm like, did you watch the whole movie or did you just watch the first hour? Like, I don't. Did you cut it off during the push it to the limit montage? And I'm like, that was a great movie. And you cut it off there. That's kind of, I do that, but with Fight Club, I'm like, right before the Project Mayhem shit gets started, you know, you watch the first part and then you just stop and you're like, that was good. That guy changed his life. Credits. Just kind of go with that. So, I'm going to read this thing. This Vice column is from 2014, August 20th, 2014. And when I read this, because this popped up in my feed, it made me so angry. And I never talked shit about it. And it's but it's still in my head. So I wanted to read it. And it's been a long time coming. And it's the reason that I... Yeah, then I'm not a fan of Vice. This started it. And because of this, I started paying attention to everything that Vice released that was just some bored-ass millennial bullshit. Hold on, there's one other one. I had to look it up because I saved it from... Yeah, 2 years ago, here's another Vice article. Yeah. I said mean things to an apple for weeks to see if it rotted faster. That's a real thing. This is... And then I wrote about it and let everybody know. Great. That's... Oh, my God. So, anyway. So, this Vice article... Let me pull it up. The title is called 15 Years Later, Fight Club Still Sucks. So, you know... It's already... I'm already on board. And it's like the 15th anniversary of Fight Club is rapidly approaching. No need to celebrate. It's just as sexist, pseudo-intellectual, and pornographically violent as you remember. Now, before I tell you who wrote this, you already know who wrote this. Like, you already know the person who wrote this. I don't have to tell you already. It's like, Isn't it feminine? Yes, yes. It's exactly who you think it is. All right. So who wrote it is Megan Coaster. Megan Coaster? She's actually a comedian, apparently. And I don't know her comedy, and that's fine. I'm not going to go search it because I'm guessing it's not for me. She doesn't know my comedy. Probably not for her. But she's a writer for Vice, Broadly, Thrillist, Jezebel. So automatically, just to tell you, yeah, she was a teenager when Fight Club came out. It's not for you. It came out to address what a lot of us felt like right before the, you know, the millennium, right before that, what we all kind of felt. I mean, that's who it connected with. It connected to people who were in jobs that they didn't like and lives that they didn't particularly care for, because that's what we were supposed to do, and we just didn't really think, you know, it's, people don't have this kind of crisis now. You know, you guys try to, so it's, but anyway, let's get to the, yeah, so this is, let's see, when Fight Club was first released, I found it to be the most scathing indictment of consumerist culture I had ever witnessed. Granted, I was 16 at the time, so I really hadn't seen many indictments of consumerist culture yet. That's because it was the most mainstream one in movie form when it came out. It's like, I am, of course, no longer 16 years old, and Fight Club is rapidly approaching... Okay, Fight Club has returned to the zeitgeist. Okay. I don't know what it is, but when you read something and zeitgeist comes up, it's like zeitgeist or oligarchy. Whenever somebody uses a word like that, like, it immediately makes me just roll my eyes. It's immediately, oh God, here we go. So, and logically so, many of the subjects it touches upon and the predictions it made about the Western world's decay have become all too real. La 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 la, ba 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 ba. Let's see. Okay. Its recent resurgence in popularity, however, made me want to see if the movie I loved so much as a teen held up, or if my teen self was wholly full of shit. Upon rewatching the film, I came to the conclusion that yes, my teen self was full of shit, because all teens are full of shit. This is the one thing that I agree with. As an ageist, yeah, teenagers are full of shit. It's like, that's the whole, which is why it's like, which is why nobody listens to you as a college freshman. When you discover something, you're like, hey, did you know about, yeah, all right, thanks. Welcome to the real world. Okay, so here we go. I illegally downloaded it because that's what Tyler Durden would have wanted me to do. No. If we're talking about what the fictional character would have wanted, he probably would have wanted you to read the goddamn book. That's probably what he would have wanted. Hey, why don't you read? And instead of illegally downloading it, maybe illegally uploading a virus so that when people illegally download something, it erases their computer. That's probably what he would have wanted. You know, the fictional character. After pouring myself a stiff drink and opening a fresh pack of cigarettes, again, as Durden would have wanted me to do, you know, quit projecting your vices onto other people. Because, actually, he quit smoking in the book. I set to judging. Already, not the most objective person. Feminist in her 30s watching Fight Club. Oh, let me see if I still like this, even though I know already what I'm going to write about and what I'm going to say. Let's see, blah, 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 blah. It resembles a video game, which makes sense because it's designed to appeal to those who, when not thinking about how fucked civilization and capitalism are, play video games they spent $70 on. No, it definitely appeals to those people. Post credits, it opens with a gun in the, let's see, blah, blah, blah. Our insomniac narrator is the living embodiment of the modern world's anomie. Damn it. I'm going to have to Google that word. Huh. Adrift and alone in a sea of Starbucks and prefab furniture. Grasping for meaning. I like how she's explaining the plot of a movie everyone's seen. Okay, the brutality they exercise on one another is borderline pornographic. I guess. Society has never told men that in order to be real men, they must not fight nor express their animalistic instincts. Actually, they have. But that's not really the point. I mean, that's... All right. It is rather the opposite. War Machine may currently be public enemy number one, but the fact remains that MMA is one of the most popular sports in the modern age. Violence is in vogue. So what the fuck are these guys rebelling against so emphatically? Well, it's not the... It's expressing... It's basically coming out of the... It's hard to... It's because they're... It's them letting off steam. It's like anything else. It represents letting off steam that they get to be real men, I guess. I don't know. It's a thing that people felt they felt repressed in a society, and it's not really about violence. That was more. That's the satire part. One scene brings to mind a modern version of Allen Ginsberg's Howl. All right, we get it. You're cultured and you read. The narrator speaks about it, how he has seen the greatest mind of his generation, blah, 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 blah. Fight Club, I realized upon viewing this scene, is the Reddit of movies. Right, because, okay, yeah, I gotta say, so our great war is a spiritual war, he says, our great depression is our lives. He and the demographic he has been created to speak for was raised to believe in inevitable greatness, yet has thus far found the achievement thereof impossible. And guess what? They're very, very pissed off because of it. It's the same argument nice guys make for not getting pussy. What? Where did you jump to that? How the fuck did you jump to that because of that? It's... Like, nobody, like, people have not, that was the whole point of the late 90s, was realizing that the American dream was a lie. So for you to immediately say, oh, you know, that's just like how guys get mad, you know, like incels get mad because they're not giving pussy. That's no context. That's a teenager who didn't realize, you know, I was an adult then. I remember the context of 1999. This is just projecting. See, men just want to fuck and own everything, which they do. But that's not what that particular scene was about. Palahniuk wrote Fight Club as satire, as an examination of the horrors that lie within the juvenile male id. At the end of the book and film, the narrator is showing, the cat's interrupting me, the narrator is shown standing before the destruction said id created, regretting what it has done, which is all well and good, but that isn't the message the average audience, the average red pill popping Redditor takes away. These dorm room poster owners are instead completely entranced by the intense violence and misogyny that transpired in the 2 hours before the end scene. Well, fuck them if they're too stupid to find the actual meaning. Is it the creative person's responsibility to make something so stupid that everybody gets it? No. All right. Most fans of the film, however, feel as though he is being irrational, totally pussing out in the film's end scene. If most people don't understand the satire, is it still satire? Yes! Yes, it is! You fucking idiot! Who I'm sure is a great comedian. Holy shit. Or is it just horrific? Socially acceptable and marketable brutality with a trite message tacked on for the critics. It's not tacked on for the critics. It's the same message from the book. It's what Chuck Palahniuk wrote. Just because... oh, my God. So everybody who's creative, keep that in mind. Don't do satire if the average Joe dipshit doesn't get it. You got to dumb it down to be responsible. Don't create anything thought-provoking because dumb people might not get it. So you see, kids, everybody, there's different people in the world and they all get different meanings from the same movie. So I just thought that was interesting how that's what she got out of it and I got out of something totally different. Man, I've been holding on to that for a while. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that. If not, well, better luck next week. Thanks for joining me. I hope you have a good week. Hope you're staying sober if you're staying sober. Cool weather is coming, Austin, Texas. I know it's going to be 100 degrees every day for the remainder of the week, but at some point, it's got to cool down. Be semi-nice to each other. Avoid scooters. Have a good week. I'll see you in 7 days. Bye.
Red wine, a little smoke, a whole lot of loving. That's all I need. Make it through the night. Cold beer. Knock 'em down.